Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in-state and local news on KJAN. A young Council Bluffs woman died in a crash on East Manawa Drive on Thursday. Council Bluffs police were called to an injury accident on Thursday at 6 p.m. in the 4800 block of East Manawa Drive. Arriving officers provided first aid to one of the drivers, 21-year-old Arika Davis of Council Bluffs, who had major injuries. She was taken to a local hospital where efforts to revive her were unsuccessful and she was pronounced dead. Preliminary reports show that the victim was southbound on East Manawa Drive and lost control going around a curve and slid sideways into oncoming traffic and was hit by a northbound SUV. The driver of the SUV, Sam Sequinzia of Omaha, suffered minor injuries. Both vehicles were a total loss and the investigation into the accident is ongoing. The driver of a 2004 Buick Rainier was injured on Friday morning during a rollover accident on Highway 34 in Montgomery County. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports 35-year-old Caleb Lee Wagaman of Stanton was traveling east on Highway 34 at around 5:22 a.m. when the SUV went out of control on the icy, snow-covered road. The vehicle entered the south ditch and rolled at least three times before coming to rest on its side. Wagaman, who was wearing his seatbelt, complained of pain and possible injury. He was transported to the Montgomery County Memorial Hospital by Red Oak Rescue to be checked out. No citations were issued due to the road conditions. A Red Oak woman was arrested early Saturday morning for disorderly conduct. At 2:16 a.m. this morning, Red Oak police officers arrested 49-year-old Kristen Marie Hughes of Red Oak in the 2400 block of North 8th Street. Hughes was taken to Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and held on $300 bond. An autopsy shows a University of Iowa student found unresponsive last month in sub-zero temperatures died of hypothermia. The Press Citizen cites a news release sent out Friday by the university and the Johnson County Medical Examiner Department in the January 30th death of 18-year-old Gerald Bells. Bells was found unresponsive around 3 a.m. behind an academic hall near his dorm on campus during record cold temperatures. The temperature at the time was more than negative 20 degrees, and the wind chill had dropped below 50 below zero. And Bells had graduated from Kennedy High School in 2018, where he played football. He would have turned 19 last week. A jury has convicted a man in the killing of a hunter in South Central Iowa. The Daily Iowegian reports that the Appanoose County jury found Ethan Davis guilty of first-degree murder in the death of 31-year-old Curtis Ross. Jurors reached the verdict Friday afternoon, hours after telling a judge they were deadlocked in their deliberations. The judge instructed them to continue trying to reach a unanimous verdict. Authorities say Ross was shot 10 times with a high-powered rifle on November 24, 2017, stabbed more than 26 times, and his neck, abdomen, and legs gashed open. A sheriff's deputy found Ross's naked body in a creek on public hunting grounds in Appanoose County. Davis's attorney, Ken Duker, said during his closing arguments Thursday that there were too many questions unanswered in the case. He acknowledged that Davis's rifle killed Ross, but said the question is who pulled the trigger. Davis of Promise City faces a mandatory sentence of life in prison. Federal prosecutors for Iowa say a contractor who put workers at risk of exposure to asbestos has been sentenced to 2 years probation. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Iowa says 61-year-old Stephen Weaver of Algona was sentenced on Wednesday in Sioux City's federal courthouse after pleading guilty in October to one count of violating clean air work practice standards. Prosecutors say Weaver admitted he was an experienced contractor and building inspector who failed to thoroughly inspect for asbestos before beginning a renovation on a former Kossuth County home he had bought in 2013. When the EPA discovered piping in the basement contained asbestos, he instructed Weaver to report to the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, but Weaver did not and continued the renovation in late 2014. Weaver was also fined $10,000 in order to pay nearly $1,600 in legal cost. One of four attorneys convicted of overbilling the state of Iowa while serving as lawyers for the indigent has had his law license suspended for at least a year. The Iowa Supreme Court on Friday indefinitely suspended the license of Clinton attorney Matthew Noel for at least a year. Noel pled guilty last year to two misdemeanor theft charges. Auditors say he repeatedly billed for meetings he did not attend and made false mileage claims, resulting in nearly $15,000 in overpayments. He received a suspended jail sentence, was fined several hundred dollars, and has repaid the money he overcharged. The high court rejected Noel's plea for a 90-day suspension, noting his misrepresentations were repeated over years. And one dissenter, Justice David Wiggins, argued that he would have revoked Noel's law license, meaning that Noel would not have been able to practice for at least 5 years. And thousands of Iowa FFA members will be celebrating National FFA Week starting on Saturday and all next week. Scott Johnson, executive director of the Iowa FFA Association, says these young people are tomorrow's leaders of America's number one industry, agriculture. Drive Your Tractor to School Day remains one of the organization's most popular events in Iowa and one of the most visible.
I remember from my experiences teaching, it was always kind of weather pending. So if FFA week happened to be a little colder, you know, the Drive Your Tractor to School Day would almost always occur. Sometimes it didn't always occur during FFA week. You had to wait for it to be warmer for those old diesel engines to be able to fire up and survive a day in the open parking lot.
And FFA membership in Iowa hit an all-time high last year with more than 15,400 students wearing the familiar blue jackets. Johnson says membership has continued to grow over the past several years.
We've experienced about a 20% growth in membership. When I started in this position in 2012, we were right around 12,000, 12,300, and now we're at 15,000.
And the number of chapters statewide last year hit 242, which also was a record, one Johnson hopes to again surpass this year. The Iowa FFA Association provides leadership, personal growth, and career success training through agriculture education, what he says is a growing field.
We see a few schools that are adding a second ag instructor. We continue to see schools that are adding new programs. And we look forward to the opportunity to bring on board a handful of chapters for the 2019-2020 school year.
And the week gives members an opportunity to educate the public about agriculture through events including service activities, appreciation breakfasts, dress-up days, and agricultural Olympics. And the emergency department at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics in Iowa City is now using an airplane to transport patients who need specialized care for serious injuries or illnesses. The chair of the emergency department, Andrew Nugent, says the airplane gives them more range.
Our helicopter has a range of about 150 miles, and we found that between that and weight restrictions and weather, it was kind of tough to get to all the patients that really wanted to come see us.
Dr. Nugent says the propeller drive airplane has a range of some 700 miles and holds a bigger payload.
We can take extra people and handle patients that have more acute illnesses so they can come all the way to the university.
He says the airplane costs about the same as the helicopter to operate. It gives them an option for a different type of patient.
We're looking for people that have been stabilized and then need to be transferred to a tertiary center. And whereas the helicopter, a lot of times, will take patients that are actively needing resuscitation or intervention that maybe needs to happen on a much faster basis. But most of these patients that we're moving with the airplane, we can take to the airport, we can transfer back to the hospital safely, and then care for them at the university.
Nugent says they expect the plane to be busy and not just with flights to Iowa City.
We're hoping that it'll be used several times a week, and it won't be used just at the university. There's been a lot of demand for it to be used throughout the Midwest. Some of the Des Moines hospitals want to use it, Omaha. There really isn't a lot of options right now for critical care transport by fixed wing.
He says they also have plenty of need at the UI.
I think the primary focus for it, first year anyway, is going to be neonate runs. We'll be moving sick babies, but we definitely can use ICU patients as well.
The black and gold colored hospital joins the helicopter service, which began transporting patients in 1979. That's a look at some of the latest in news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Richard Wallace, age 88, of Greenfield, died Sunday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. A massive Christian burial for Richard Wallace will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Harlan Carey, age 73, of Griswold, died Tuesday at Jenny Emmonson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Harlan Carey will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the Griswold United Methodist Church. Reekin Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Doris Louise Jorgensen, age 90, of Guthrie Center, died Tuesday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Doris Jorgensen will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Marjorie Carnes, age 85, of Marshalltown and formerly of Anita, died Wednesday at the Bickford Cottage in Marshalltown. Memorial services for Marjorie Carnes will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. And Robert Leroy Larson, age 88, of Casey, died Thursday at the Raleigh Masonic Home in Perry. Funeral services for Robert Leroy Larson will be held on Wednesday at 11 a.m. in the Casey United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home and Crematory in Stewart has the arrangements. And Sally J. Burmeister, age 78, of Harlan, died Thursday in Omaha. A memorial service for Sally J. Burmeister will be held on Saturday at 11 a.m. in the Emanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.